Well, good morning. If you would, please go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We are in the second week of our series called Established. In this series, we are learning how to be rooted and established in the love of God. Last week, we were in John chapter 17. We looked at the first three verses there, where we learned about knowing God. If you missed last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it or listen to it. You can find it on our YouTube channel, the church Facebook page, or even going to the church website. You can find it there. If you look under the drop-down menu called Resources, that will take you to our sermon series, our archives, and you can watch it there. Just encourage you to go back and listen to that first message of this series. Last week, we saw that Jesus came to give us life, eternal life. And that eternal life is knowing God. And knowing God is about being in a relationship with God. That relationship is made possible through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We celebrated that 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday. Apart from Christ, we are dead in our sins, spiritually separated from God. When we, by faith, put our trust in Jesus' death as the payment for our sins and accept this new eternal life that he offers us, we are born again spiritually into a living relationship with God the Father. True of any relationship, you have to be intentional to be in a healthy relationship. That means you have to be able to communicate. And a big part of communicating is to learn to listen. So this morning, we are focusing on hearing God. If you're going to be rooted and established in the love of God, you have to learn how to listen to God. We're going to have to learn to hear his voice. We're going to pick up here in John chapter 10 in verse 27. Where Jesus is speaking, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gives them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." What a wonderful promise there in verses 28 and 29 that we have eternal life, that we are secure in the Father's hands, that no one could snatch us out of the Father's hands, which makes me wonder who could he be talking about here? Well, if you go back up to verse 10 of John chapter 10, Jesus begins saying this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He's talking about Satan here. No one, not even Satan, can take us out of the hands of the Father. But it's important to be aware there are different voices out there. And we have to make sure that we're listening to the right voice, that we are tuned in so that we are sure that we are hearing the shepherd's voice. You know, if someone tells you, says they pray, you consider them a spiritual person, right? If someone knows you pray, they would say, oh, so-and-so is a spiritual person. But if you were to go to work on tomorrow, or maybe I should say, if you phone into work tomorrow and you happen to mention in a conversation that, I'm hearing from God and he's speaking to me, I don't know if people would say, oh, you're spiritual so much, or as they might think he's a little off or she's a little off. Excuse me. It's spiritual to pray to God. It's spiritual to talk to God. But it somehow seems a little bit out there for us to actually hear from God. I think this is true for a lot of people. Because most people today just don't believe that God will speak to us. Oh, sure, we read in the Bible that, you know, God spoke to his people, but somehow we think that's way back then. That's the Old Testament. That's the New Testament times. But the reality is, he's still speaking. We're just not listening. We're not tuned in. We need to learn to recognize and tune in to his voice. So how do we hear the voice of God? How do we tune in? Now, I'm going to show my age a little bit here. But some of you remember back in the days when TVs used to have rabbit ears. You know, those two little antennas that came up off the back of your TV, and you usually had aluminum foil crunched up on the ends. And every time you had to get up and change the channel, and you get up and you change the channel, and you had to adjust the antennas so that you could tune in the channel correctly. Or when you used to listen to the radio in your car and you had to tune that knob into the station so that you could pick up the station you wanted to listen to. This was particularly hard when there were two stations that were close in frequency, or if one station had a really strong signal and it would overpower the station that you were trying to listen to. Even today, I know some friends that I call on the phone, if they're on their cell phone at home, they have to sit in a certain spot in their house to catch a good signal. If they get up and walk around, they will drop the call. The secret to hearing God, learning how to tune in to the right station, making sure you're getting a strong signal so that you can hear his voice. Look again at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. There are five ways that God usually speaks to us today. Now, of course, God can speak any way he wants to speak. In the book of Daniel, he speaks as a hand literally shows up and writes on a wall. By the way, that's where we get the phrase, the handwriting's on the wall, from. In Numbers 22, God spoke through a donkey. The donkey stops and turns to Balaam, the prophet, and says, hey, what are you doing? If God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through any means he chooses. But these are the five main ways God speaks to us today. And the first way God speaks to us is through the Bible. This is the primary way he speaks to us. And all other ways fall in line with and are subordinate to what the Bible says. The Bible is God's love letter to us. The more you know your Bible, the more you will know God, his nature, character, his heart, his will. You will know him. The more that you know your Bible, the more you will be able to discern the voice of God when he speaks to you. Knowing the Bible is about knowing it in its context and what the word actually teaches us. Remember, a verse out of context is just a con. Some people, when they think about the Bible, aren't thinking trust. They're thinking more like an advice column. This is important because in our relationship with God as the shepherd, we are the sheep. This is meant to be a trusting relationship. We want a quick answer, almost like a fortune cookie approach. God wants trust, a relationship. These are two different things. There's a story of a guy who was trying to decide on something. He needed some direction, so he opens up his Bible and starts flipping through the pages, and without looking, he just pops his finger down, and then he looks down to read what it says, and he says, he's looking, he says, God, I need a little help here. I need some direction, and he looks at the first verse, and it says, and Judas went out and hung himself. guy stops and says, well, that can't be right. Let me try this again. So he begins flipping his pages again, and the next time he puts his finger down, it says, go and do likewise. Finally, the third time, he says, three times, this has got to be it. His third time, he puts his finger down, and it says, what you do, do quickly. A lot of us are intimidated by the Bible. We don't need to be. As you get into God's word gets into you. This is why I've challenged our congregation to join me this year in reading through the Bible. We don't come to the Bible just to get a quick answer or an advice in a particular situation. We come to the Bible to hear the voice of God, to listen as He speaks to us. We listen to grow in our relationship with God. And it is out of that relationship we will follow God's leading and direction in our lives. So the first way God speaks to us, the primary way God speaks to us, is through His Word. The second way God speaks to us is through authority. And of course, the Bible is the main authority. So we submit to what God says through His Word. The Bible and everything else is subjected to the authority of God's Word. But God does also speak through those He puts in authority over us, such as pastors and elders, and church leaders. In the church, pastors and leaders have authority, but it doesn't make them more special than you. It just means that they have a different role in the church. The Bible also says that they have a heavy responsibility and will be held accountable for this. Pastors are going to be judged more strictly than others. In fact, that's why the book of James, and James says that why would anybody want to be a pastor? God will speak to you through them. Have you ever been in a worship service where you just hear the pastor preaching and you somehow think, how did he know? He's speaking right to me. How did he know that this was the situation I'm going through in my life right now? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God speaking to you through pastoral authority. The Bible says in Romans 13 that government is an authority that God puts in our lives, that it is God's will for us to obey the law of the land, so long as that law doesn't violate what the Bible says or requires of us. That's why we are obeying the stay-home orders that our governor has given us. If you're driving down the road and the posted speed limit is 65 miles per hour, God's will for you in the moment is to drive 65 miles an hour or less. The law of the land, ultimately, is ordained by God. If you're a student, you live in your home, live in your parents' home. Your parents are God's authority in your life. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that if you obey your parents, it's good for you. It will help you have a long and healthy life. If you have a job, your employer is God's authority. If you're married, your spouse is God's authority in your life. Now, if you're thinking, what about that passage that says, wives, submit to your husbands? It would include that. That's in Ephesians 5 as well. But most men, even those who've only been in the church 7 minutes, know that verse. Wives, submit to your husbands. But men, do you realize the verse that comes right before that? Before the whole wives submit to your husbands? Ephesians 5:21 says that we are to submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Just to be clear, marriage is a commitment of mutual submission. When you read the rest of Ephesians 5, it's like this. Guys, here's your role in mutual submission. Ladies, here's your role in mutual submission. Guys, God will speak to you through your wife. And it is from God. It will be according to God. And if it's from God, if it's according to God's will, if your wife is a follower of Jesus, listen to her. Listen to her. ladies, your husband, especially if he's a follower of Jesus, God will use him to speak into your lives. If you are having marital conflicts and there's conviction, it could be God speaking. Since we're talking about marriage, here's a little bonus point for you today. When there is conflict in a relationship, and I'm sure with everybody staying home all these times together, there's no one here having any conflict in the home. But when there is conflict, anytime there is conflict, this would be a good time to stop and pray. You won't feel like praying. You won't want to pray in the moment. But if you just take your spouse's hands in that moment and pray, you will begin submitting yourself to God's authority over your marriage. There will be mutual submission. The atmosphere will change because Jesus doesn't take sides. He takes over. So God will speak to you through the authorities he's put over your life: government, parents, pastors, employers, and spouses. You want to listen to these kinds of things. And if you're watching this and you are in a place of authority, you want to make sure that you are first under God's authority before you exercise authority over someone else. So God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us through those he puts in authority over us. And the third way God speaks to us is through godly others. The optimum word here is godly. The truth is, when we're making life decisions, you can always find someone who will agree with you. If a godly person disagrees with you, you can go out and find an ungodly friend who agrees with you. The truth is, you're not trying to listen to God. How do you know if they're godly? Well, they know God's word. They submit to God's authority over them and are following Christ. They go to church regularly and they are humble. Humility is a chief virtue in the Christian life. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You want to find humble people who are followers of Jesus. And you need to find people who care more about your future than about your feelings. You want to find people who will tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. This is a verse that would be a great memorizing verse for you, especially for our teenagers. It's Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks in with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." If you want to be wise, if you want to be godly, if you want to know God's voice and live, then live your life with people who are wise, godly, who are listening to the voice of God. God will speak through other godly people in your life. Fourth way God speaks to us is through that still small voice. What does that mean? Every once in a while, you will hear the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Spirit will prompt you, will nudge you into an action. You'll be going through your day, and somebody will come to mind. And it's just kind of random. You can't shake it. God will speak to you in a still small voice. He will nudge you in a certain direction. He will impress on you certain things to do, say, or ways to serve others. Now, how do you know it's God? How do you know it's not your own mind or the leftover pizza you ate last night? When you get those promptings or nudges, talk to God. What does the Bible say? Ask some of the authorities in your life, people who are godly and around you. Is it well with your soul? Is this pleasing to God? Has the Spirit of God given you a sense of peace about this? over time, the more you learn to listen and respond to this still small voice, the easier it becomes. And the quicker you recognize that is the prompting of the Holy Spirit, of God speaking to you through that still small voice. Well, the fifth way God speaks to us is through our circumstances. Have you ever heard that phrase about, you know, an open door or a closed door? God opens this door, closes that door. Of all the five ways God speaks to us, our circumstances can be the most challenging. It comes from something that happened to Paul in Acts chapter 16, but people often take it out of context. Most people take the open door to mean the easy way. Oh, this is easy. God must want me to do this. Or that way seems hard. God must be closing that door. The truth is, when God speaks to you through your circumstances, it's not always going to be the easy way. In fact, often it's going to be the difficult way that he's trying to direct you. God wants you to trust him. Just because your circumstance may be difficult, don't use the God closed the door excuse too quickly. If God is speaking to you through your circumstances, ask, what does the Bible say? What does those in authority around me say? What do the godly others and the counsel they give me? What is that still small voice prompting in my spirit to do? Be willing to, in faith, take that step. If God is speaking to you through your circumstances, listen. In John 10:27, when Jesus talks about shepherding, it's a different picture than many of us may think about today. He's not talking about a shepherd out in a field with his sheepdog pushing the sheep where they're supposed to go. The dog barks and circles the sheep and pushes the herd into the pen. Jesus wasn't talking about a sheepdog approach to shepherding. Jesus is not going to bark at you. Well, typically, I mean, sometimes he needs to get my attention, so he gets it. But generally, when Jesus talks about shepherding here, he's talking about how they shepherd in the Middle East in his time. When a lamb was born, the shepherd would take the lamb and put the lamb on his shoulders, and he would walk around with the lamb on his shoulders for a few days. When he did that, the little lamb got to know the voice of the shepherd and learned to trust the shepherd. Then, after some time, the shepherd would take the lamb and put it back into the flock. But by then, the lamb would know the shepherd's voice, would trust the shepherd. In the Middle East, shepherds could literally just walk out ahead of their flock and call them. Often at night, they would pull several herds together into a pen or a common area for protection. And then the morning would come, each shepherd would walk off and call their sheep, and the sheep would know which one of the shepherds was their shepherd and follow after. Because they knew the voice and they trusted the shepherd. If you want to hear the voice of God, tune into God. And you have to spend time with God. And the more time we spend with God, the more we will be able to recognize when he is speaking to us. And the more you will learn to trust him. Spend time with God, and you'll know his voice, and you'll follow him when he leads. If you want to be rooted and established in the love of God, we must be able to hear God. We hear God through his word, the Bible, through those in authority he's put over us, through godly others who are around us, through our circumstances, and through that still small voice that he speaks to us through the Spirit. Father, most gracious God, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that you have secured us in the Father's hand. Help us, O Lord, to hear your voice. Tune us in. Help us to tune in to your voice so that the other voices that are out there will be tuned out. We might listen, but not, as James says, be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. May we grow in this relationship that we are so in love with you, as we learn to hear your voice, that we also learn to respond to your voice and follow you. Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.